scripture is Luke 17:11-19. On the journey to Jerusalem, Jesus passed along the borders of Samaria and Galilee. As Jesus was entering a village, 10 people with leprosy met him. Keeping their distance, they raised their voices and said, "Jesus, Rabbi, have pity upon us." When Jesus saw them, he responded, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." As they were going, they were healed. One of them, realizing what had happened, came back praising God in a loud voice, then fell down at the feet of Jesus and spoke his praises. The individual was a Samaritan. Jesus replied, "Weren't all 10 made whole? Where are the other 9? Was there no one to return and give thanks except this foreigner?" Then Jesus said to the Samaritan, "Stand up and go on your way. Your faith has saved you."
Well, thank you for being here today. And for giving me this opportunity to lead worship the first time in a very long time. I was in Eureka Springs, Arkansas for Spring Diversity Weekend in 2007. I'd signed up to perform spoken word at Henry's Martini Lounge off of Spring Street. I was a little nervous, so I decided to practice some of my poems in Basin Park nearby, and a little crowd had started gathering around me. And when a bunch of men and women marched into the park, some of them dressed like our early American forefathers, the others wearing biker regalia, their patches said Jericho Riders. They were a Christian biker club. And several people approached me, telling me to stop performing my poetry since they had a permit to be in the park. But at that moment, a man dressed like George Washington got up on the stage and he shouted into a microphone that America had become a nation of iniquity, that we deserved the same fate as Sodom and Gomorrah. I continued performing my poetry, but a woman told me I couldn't do that. I argued, "I don't have a public announcement system. I'm in a public place and I have the right to free speech." She got personal. "If Jesus healed you, what would you be?" I know what she meant. I'd been approached with this question before. And she read me as transgender. And I said, "I don't care." And she frowned. "You don't care?" Not the answer she was expecting. "That's right. I won't question wholeness." She pressed her point. "Even if it meant that you would be a man?" And I said, "I won't refuse wholeness." She backed off, looking confused. And then another woman stepped up and started to debate me about the nature of God's love, asking me to submit to the words of Christ, to take upon myself his anointing. And I said, "What makes you think I already haven't?" We often have preconceived notions about what it means to be healed. What we'd look like, what we'd be like, how we'd function. But as with many things, there's not one answer to healing. For example, there's a raging debate in the deaf community about surgical interventions. Cochlear implants, and in particular, that would allow someone born deaf to hear. A modern-day miracle, to say the least, but not the kind of healing many people want. The deaf community has a distinct and flourishing culture. American Sign Language is an expressive and complex means of communication, and there are many families in the deaf community that wouldn't want their children healed with a cochlear implant. Pam has told me many stories about deaf parents rejoicing when their children are born deaf, about their activism against early interventions, wanting their children to decide for themselves when they are older. Intersex people have been advocating against normalizing surgeries performed upon infants and children who are born with ambiguous genitalia. Often when children are born with ambiguous characteristics, doctors and parents decide what gender the child will be, performing irreversible surgeries on them to make them conformed to a perceived gender and sexual binary. The problem is, some of these surgeons get it wrong. And these children grow up confused because their innate identities are subsumed by social expectations. David Reimer was a Canadian man born biologically male, but reassigned a girl as and raised as female following medical advice and intervention. After his penis was accidentally destroyed during a botched circumcision, he was the subject of the famous John Joan study performed by Dr. John Money at Johns Hopkins University in the 1970s. Though he wasn't actually born intersex, he was subjected to many of the same assumptions imposed upon intersex children. Upon reaching puberty, David realized he wasn't a girl and insisted upon living life as a man. Because he'd been subjected to female hormones and surgical intervention, his growth had been stunned. To add to insult to injury, he had been a twin brother and saw in his twin brother a constant reminder of what he would have been if the doctors hadn't assumed he couldn't live a fulfilled life as a man with damaged genitalia. David Reimer committed suicide in 2004. His healing was not the right kind of healing. Intersex people want to have the opportunity to reach an age of consent where they can make a choice to have the power of self-determination. I went through part of my theological education with a blind woman. Her name was Mary. Upon her ordination as a priest, she had trouble getting a call to serve, sometimes because she was a woman and sometimes because she was blind. She told a story once about being denied an opportunity to preach because some of the louder voices in a congregation said that she was unfit to be a priest because of her physical disability. They cited Old Testament passages about the need for priests to be without physical defects. Leviticus chapter 21 outlines the requirements for the purity that God required of them. A descendant of Aaron had to be pure, unspotted, without physical defects before he could offer sacrifices and offerings to God. These defects included blindness, lameness, a marred face, a limb too long, a broken foot, a broken hand, hunchbacked, dwarfed, a defective eye, eczema, a scab, and castration. Physical defects, whether the result of injury, deformity, disease, or surgery, were seen as the consequence of sin, as evidence of defilement, and by nature forbidden from the assembly of God. The idea that man, emphasis intended, was created in the image of God was taken seriously, permitting anyone who lacked perfection or purity, forbidding anyone who lacked perfection or purity to perform the rites of priesthood, and thus risk bringing upon the people judgment and the wrath of God. From the Levitical point of view, women are by nature less than perfect. Flawed beings, injured soldiers, children born with deformities, and people who suffer from disease are to be shunned, forbidden from full participation in the rites of the temple or tabernacle. The miracles of Jesus facilitate our attitudes about what it means to be whole. He did heal the lame so they could walk. He made the deaf to hear, the blind to see, the sick to be well, and the hungry to be fed. There are also stories about him driving out demons and raising people from death. He also conferred blessing upon believers who were foreign, and so by definition, defiled. These blessings to the foreigners, to the unclean, give a clue to the transformation in the teachings of Christ. Because these blessings see a purity in faith, and faith being a state of mind, the purification transcends physicality. There are people who are well adjusted to their various situations, people who rely upon wheelchairs, who live full lives, people who are deaf, who live in a dynamic, fully expressed culture, people who are blind but uninhibited about pursuing their visions, people who are diseased, who are determined to make the most of every day they have left, and people who have been injured, who claim their rights to be full members of society, people who have physical limitations, who want access to equality and opportunity like everybody else. We also are people who have different ideas of love and partnership, people who embrace different expressions of wholeness, people who have different ideas about what it means to be whole and healed, what it means to be men and women, what it means to be persons of faith. So in all of our Levitical impurities, we would be forbidden to the assembly of God. But yet here we are. We are the diversity that Jesus envisioned. And by virtue of our living and breathing, we are all people of spirit, people who manifest the image of God. And to truly embrace the teachings of Christ, we must be the kind of people who see beyond physicalities, the kind of people who seek and serve the Spirit of Christ in all whom we encounter. That is the essential discipline of Christianity, the greatest joy and the deepest challenge. There are none who are disabled. None who are forbidden, none who are disallowed from the assembly of God. Our bodies are only one aspect of our true beings. We are also our minds and our spirits, and nobody is seen as disabled in the eyes of Christ. And we can claim healing in whatever form it takes. Embrace healing in whatever, however it shall come, and whether it transforms us physically, emotionally, or spiritually, we can embrace it. Because we are whole. Amen.